In a leaked Supreme Court document, mukhang finally ma-overturn ng Roe v. Wade. Pero ano nga ba ang Roe v. Wade? We'll talk about that today. Also, may bagong documentary sa Discovery Plus entitled Generation Drag. Let's talk about that as well. And sasagutin ang tanong, we'll answer the question, bakit hindi ako masyadong nagsasalita about Philippine politics? Dito lang yan sa The Jay Aruga Show. Kumusta? Kumusta? Welcome to the Jay Aruga Show, the first conservative podcast in the Philippines. Shoutout muna tayo sa mga friends. Shoutout kina Gerald and JM. Nakasama ko sila recently sa The Powerful Comics Man podcast. And we talked about Elon Musk acquiring Twitter. So check that out. Also, I guested in PJ's podcast entitled Chill Talks. So that was a very wonderful conversation. Suportahan natin ang podcast na ito ni PJ. Also, sana napakinggan niyo yung episode namin with Carl Keating, founder of Catholic Answers. So hindi ko kayang gawin ang interview mag-isa, kaya in-invite ko ang aking kaibigan na si Burns Ocasi. So check that out. Binusisi namin ni Burns ang buhay ni Carl. We talked about his early life and the establishment of Catholic Answers. And of course, his debate with Iglesia ni Cristo. Okay, ano ang topic natin today? Right now, alam kong nasa halalan fever ang marami. Kaso may big news from the US eh. Last week, na hindi ko kayang i-neglect. Ano itong big news na tinutukoy ko? Ito yon. Kasi sa US, dinidinig ulit sa Supreme Court ang Roe v. Wade. And may nag-leak ng draft ng decision tungkol dito. Sabi dun sa leak, ma-overturn daw ang Roe v. Wade. 5 out of 9 justices ang bumoto para ma-overturn ito. This is the biggest win for us in the pro-life side kapag finally na-overturn ito. Although, hindi nangangahulugan na mawawala na ang abortion sa US kapag na-overturn ang Roe v. Wade. Ang ginawa lang kasi ng ruling na yon many years ago ay ipinagbawal lang sa buong US ang pagbaban ng abortion. So, bawal na yung may isang state na magbaban ng abortion all across the country. Ngayon, kapag na-overturn si Roe, may mga ilang states pa rin na pwedeng magkaroon ng abortion. May ilan na pwedeng mag-total ban dito. Siyempre, yung mga states na magkakaroon pa rin ng abortion ay yung mga blue states like New York, California, etc. They'll always have their abortion. Actually, kung pro-democracy ka, dapat you're for this. Kasi what this does is, it will just be left for the people to vote kung sino ang gusto lang magpalakad ng government nila. Kung sino yung magsusulong ng abortion or not. Kaya nga medyo ironic, di ba? Ito yung ultimate exercise ng democracy. Yung iwan mo sa kamay ng tao ang pag-decide about abortion. Kung gusto nila ng may abortion ang state nila, or hindi, bumoto sila ng Democrat senators or congressmen. Kung gusto lang may abortion sa state nila, kung ayaw nila, bumoto sila ng Republican. Pero ayaw ng mga Democrats na mangyari yon. Also, isa pang info na natutunan ko recently is this. Ang US pala has one of the most radical laws on abortion compared to most countries in the world. Noong 2017, the Washington Post fact-checked a claim that US is one of 7 countries that allow elective abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So sa 198 countries in the world, meron lang 139 countries na may abortion pero mandated na may reason ka to get it. May it be rape, incest, or something else. Meron lang ding 59 na countries that permit abortion on demand, meaning kung gusto mo lang kahit na wala kang good reason for it. So kung ikukumpara mo sa other 59 countries that permit abortion on demand, the US is one of 7 nations that allow elective abortion past 20 weeks period. So sa second and third trimester, pwede pang ipa-abort ang bata. Biruin mo, malapit na ipanganak, pwede mo pang ipa-abort. Ang mga bansang kasama ng US sa Magic 7 na ito ay the Netherlands and Singapore. Although nakasama lang ang dalawang bansa na ito kasi ang limit nila is 24 weeks. Bukod dun, ang iba pang mga kasama na bansa ng US na walang legal restrictions on abortion, meaning pwede kang magpa-abort up until birth, ay Canada, Vietnam, and of course, the land of the free, China, and North Korea. By the way, makikita natin ang mga protesters sa Supreme Court, di ba? May sign sila, women's rights are human rights. Women. So kapag abortion ang pinag-uusapan, conveniently, gagamitin ng leftist ang word na women, which means biological female na may XX chromosomes, someone ordered towards gestation, may female body parts. Women. Women's rights lang ang pinaglalaban nila. Di ba nila alam that men can get pregnant too? You transphobes! Hi. The inconsistency. Pero ano nga ba ang Roe v. Wade? Paano nangyari na naaprubahan ang ganitong klaseng batas sa Estados Unidos? For this, we'll need to go back in time and revisit this dark time in Western history. So this is a lesser-known story of Roe v. Wade. So brace yourself. Isa sa mga early pro-abortion rights activists, sina Dr. Bernard Nathanson at si Larry Lader, sila ang nag-establish ng National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. Later, it's renamed as National Abortion Rights Action League o NARAL. Si Larry Lader, he was mentored by Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood herself. Ito yung pinakamalaking abortion provider sa buong mundo. Si Margaret Sanger naman is a well-known racist. Pero biro, kaya niya talaga binuo ang Planned Parenthood ay para mabawasan ang black population sa US, either through contraception or abortion. Noong 1970s, kasagsagan ito ng Women's Liberation Movement. May isang babae na nagngangalang Betty Friedan, writer ng aklat na The Feminine Mystique. Siya ang face of the women's movement at that time. So si Dr. Nathanson at si Larry, lumapit sila kay Betty and nag-join forces sila para sa isang goal, ma-legalize ang abortion in the whole USA. Nung kausap natin si Timory Millington, in-explain niya na dati talaga yung mga first wave of feminist, yung women's rights movement. Hindi naman ito focus ang abortion noon. In fact, marami sa mga first wave feminist are even anti-abortion. However, eventually, nakumbinsi ng mga boys si Betty Friedan. Nung una, ang plan is for abortion to just be rare, safe, and legal, just to cater to the hard cases like rape. But eventually, they fought for abortion on demand. Ang dating rare, naging on demand na. Naging dahilan na ng deaths of 60 million children in America. Isang araw noong 1970s din, nag-submit ng bill to legalize abortion in New York ang mga lawmakers nito. On demand, up to 24 weeks of pregnancy ang kanilang bill. However, that law was debated heavily, especially by Senator Earl Bridges. Bridges is spelled B-R-Y-D-G-E-S. So sa mga gustong mag-research, yun yung spelling ng pangalan niya. Senator Bridges spoke about unborn infants in that hearing. He said, if ever a group needed a special pleader, if ever a group needed a special guardian, it's this group, which obviously cannot speak for itself. During that time, iniisip ng mga tao na hinding-hindi malilegalize ang abortion sa New York. Nagulat ka? New York in the 70s is different from the very liberal New York now, kung saan pinapailawan pa nila ang Empire State Building nung naipasa yung bill ng abortion up to the moment of conception doon. Pero bakit akala nilang hindi maipapasa ang abortion law noong 1970s? The reason is because heavily controlled ng Catholics ang New York noon. Habang dinidinig ang batas sa New York, may isang nag-last minute switch. Kaya naging legal ang abortion sa New York noong time ng 70s. At ito, ang pangalan ng taong ito na nag-last minute switch, is a fellow named George Michaels. Hindi ito si George Michael dun sa duo na Wham. Yung kumanta ng, well, I guess it would be nice. Ayun, dahil sa last minute switch na ito, naipasa ang legalization ng abortion sa New York. At dahil heavily Catholic ang NY noon, hindi na nanalo si George Michaels nung susunod na halalan. That was his last Christmas as a senator. How I wish na ganun din tayo, yung hindi tayo boboto ng pro-abortion candidate. Hindi puro pro-abortion folks lang ang gusto kong i-highlight from that time period. May mga lumaban din against abortion. At ang example nito ay si Dr. Mildred Jefferson, the first black woman who graduated from Harvard Medical School. Nandun din si Robert Byrne, isang Catholic lawyer. Nandun din si Bishop James McHugh. Father pa lang siya nung time na yon, pero he's one of the big names ng mga lumaban against abortion nung time na yon. Part din dito si Ellen McCormack, a Democrat running on a pro-life platform. So malamang alien sa inyo ang lahat ng mga pinagsasabi ko. Isang pro-life na New York, isang pro-life Democrat, pero sila ang early proponent ng pro-life cause. Back to the story. Dahil sa heavily Catholic ang New York, part of the strategy ng pro-abortion side is to always put Catholics in a bad light. Sina Dr. Nathanson at Larry, they have a lot of connections sa print media that time. They always identify the bad guys as Catholics. Not that far off sa panahon natin ngayon, kung saan laging vinivilify ang simbahan. Abortion became legal in New York. At dahil illegal ito in other states, dinagsa ang New York ng mga babaeng magpapa-abort. So tiba-tiba ang abortion clinic ni Dr. Nathanson nung time na yon. Although abortion is legal in some states sa US, you'd think masaya na yung pro-abortion activist sa win na ito. Hindi. Kasi hindi makapagtayo ang Planned Parenthood ng clinics all across the country. Kaya kailangan maipanalo nila ang law that would do this. Enter Norma McCorvey, isang Planned Parenthood employee. She has a problem with alcohol, drugs, and may criminal record pa siya noon. Hindi nagtapos ng pag-aaral. From there, she was baptized with the name Jane Roe. Hindi lang si Roe ang nakuha ng pro-abortion advocates dito, pati mga feminist lawyers din, sina Sarah Weddington and Linda Coffey. Jane Roe, Sarah, and Linda are all from Texas. And at this point, mukhang reversal of roles ang meron. Kasi New York ay parang yung puro religious na tao ang nandoon nung time na yon, at ang Texas naman ang parang pro-abortionist, which is baliktad sa time ngayon. One day nag-meet ang tatlong ito sa isang pizza place in Texas. Ro is pregnant and was seeking an abortion. Dito nila linuto ang kwento nila. Sinubukan ng dalawang lawyers kumbinsihin si Ro na kailangan maging legal ang abortion sa US. Hindi option ang pag-abort sa Mexico. Actually, nagsinungaling yung dalawang lawyers kay Ro nung time na yon. Kasi tinanong ni Ro yung dalawang lawyers kung saan pwede magpa-abort. Sabi nila kay Ro, wala daw. Wala ang pwedeng pag-abortan. Kahit sa Mexico, hindi nila bin-ring up iyon. Which is malapit lang naman sa Texas. So sabi ni Ro, she was raped. Although years later, she admitted that she lied about being raped. Also, another trivia, Norma McCorvey never had an abortion despite winning Roe v. Wade. So nakilala na natin si Roe. Sino naman si Wade? Hindi ito si Wade Wilson o kilala sa alias na Deadpool. Si Henry Wade and his team are the ones who fought for the unborn when Roe's case was filed in the Texas court. The pro-abortion movement filed this under women's right to privacy. The right to privacy was never in the US Constitution, but they conjured this up in there. Nagtatago lang daw in front of everyone's eyes ang right to privacy. Ayon sa kanila, the right to privacy daw protects a pregnant woman's liberty to choose to have an abortion. So sa totoo lang, hindi ko maintindihan ang connect. Lalo na't ang lobbyist, gusto pa nga nila for women to shout out their abortion. Nevertheless, sa round na ito, round 1, nung nagharap ang lawyers ni Roe versus Wade for the first time in Texas court, Roe win, Wade lose. Nothing left to do but to appeal the case to the highest court of the land, the Supreme Court. At that time, 7 ang judges ng SCOTUS. 9 dapat pero 2 ay nag-retire na. At alam naman natin ang political game sa pag-appoint ng SC judges ng President of the USA. Nung POTUS si Trump, di ba naalala nyo na inappoint niya si Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett nung nabakante ang posisyon. At mukhang sila nga ang kailangan sa present para ma-overturn ang Roe v. Wade. Kaya ganun din ang game noon. Nixon, despite the scandals, is a Republican. Nung time na yon, lahat ng mga kaso na for abortion, yung mga judges na nakakatanggap nito, ang mindset nila, hindi nila sineseryoso yung kaso. Sabi lang lahat, hindi naman maipapasa ang abortion na yan dito sa US. At minsan ito din yung nadidinig natin sa mga Pinoy. I know, kasi ganyan din yung mindset ko noon. Sabi ko nung nakikita ko yung mga pro-life messaging sa simbahan, sayang naman ang energy ng simbahang ito. Philippines will always be a pro-life country. Yet, now, hindi ko nakitang sumisikat ang paglobby ng abortion sa bansa. The big strategy of Dr. Nathanson's team back then is to leak fake statistics to the media. They feed them with hoaxes like 1 million illegal abortions are done in the year sa US. Or 10,000 women die in back alley abortions, or 60% of Americans are in favor with abortion. And sabi nila, self-fulfilling lie daw yung 60% na yon. Kasi once na linabas nila yung stats na yon, yung mga Americans biglang nagbabago ng isip nila kapag nakikita nila na 60% of Americans ang in favor sa abortion. Kaya parang namamind condition sila. Gaya ng mga surveys. Also, they planted 4 pro-abortion stories in Time magazine each year, and they planted pro-abortion messages in TV and movies. Dr. Nathanson also performed abortion on his own child. He killed his own child. Isipin niyo yun. Part of the strategy is to frame this issue as a women's right to choose. That's why from then on, they were called the pro-choice movement. Diyan magaling ang left sa slogans. Magaling silang mag-vilify using slogans as well. Kung titignan niyo yung ginawa nila sa Florida recently, pinangalanan nilang Don't Say Gay Bill, yung isang inosenteng bill. At this point, when the Supreme Court was about to hear the case, the team of Wade and the team of Robert Byrne started to team up. They teamed up to prepare for what is to come. Nung unang dininig ang abortion sa SC, dahil pito lang ang judges noon, ang score ay 4-3 in favor of Roe. Chief Justice Warren Burger wanted to re-argue the case dahil sa sobrang close ng votes at dahil sa sobrang halaga ng topic. They then voted 6-1 to re-argue the case. Si Justice William Douglas lang ang nag-iisang vote against re-arguing. Bakit against sa re-argument si Justice Douglas nung time na yon? Kasi kaka-appoint lang ng mga justices na in-appoint ni Nixon. Kung 4-3 ang votes ngayon in favor of Roe, kapag nakasama na nila yung bagong judges sa botohan, ay posibleng mag-flip ito into 4-5 in favor of Wade. This past few days, pinag-usapan natin di ba yung leak from the Supreme Court? Nung time na yon, may mga nagli-leak din sa media. And ang isang leak nga nung time na yon is kung paano nag-vote si Justice Burger, which is against abortion. This is a coordinated attack against him ng mga taong ayaw ng re-argument. And this is similar to doxing. Pero tumuloy pa rin yung re-argument, although on shaky grounds na si Justice Burger because he's in so much pressure at this point. Paano nag-decide in favor of abortion ang 9 Supreme Court justices on Roe v. Wade? Kahit na conservatives ang dalawang justices na inappoint ni Nixon, paano kaya nangyari yon? May dalawang justices na kasali sa boboto na may family members who work for Planned Parenthood. Justice Potter Stewart's wife and Justice Harry Blackmun's daughter. You'd think na dapat hindi sila kasali sa decision dahil may conflict of interest na sila sa pagboto, di ba? Also, they referred to a previous case called Griswold versus Connecticut, which says that there is right to privacy and it can be inferred from several amendments in the Bill of Rights. And this right prevents states from making the use of contraception by married couples illegal. But it was heavily debated in court whether a preborn child is a person and shares the same basic rights as a born child. At matindi ang suspense habang inaabangan ng lahat ng citizens ng United States of America ang decision on a milestone case of Roe v. Wade sa araw na ito ng 1973. In the end, we all know what happened. 9 male justices decided 7-2 in favor of abortion in America. And they say that men don't have a say in this matter. Well, if that's true, dapat invalid ang decision ng 9 male justices na ito. Bakit naantong dito? Bakit sila bumoto for abortion? One is because of the public outcry. And number two, because of family pressure. Some justices changed their vote that it is unconstitutional for a state to ban access to abortion. The right to privacy during that time trumps an unborn child's right to life. This has been a matter of politics instead of legal arguments. And since then, up until now, 60 million babies were killed. Few years after, naimbento ang CT scan o ultrasound. Kasi before Roe v. Wade, this technology is not available. One day, Dr. Bernard Nathanson was performing an abortion with an ultrasound. He saw, for the first time, an image of a baby in the womb. He broke down in tears. Thousands of dead unborn child flashed into his very eyes, including his own child that he aborted. From that day on, Dr. Bernard Nathanson became a champion of the pro-life cause. Read his book entitled Hand of God, A Journey from Death to Life by an Abortion Doctor Who Changed His Mind. Dr. Nathanson converted from pro-choice to pro-life, from atheist to Catholic. Jane Roe, or Norma McCorvey, when she learned the truth that she was lied to by the two feminist lawyers, she also became pro-life. Conservatives, this is one of the most important issues in the culture war. And sana maasahan ko kayo to take back the culture. Alright, it's time for What's News. Ano ang news na babasahin natin ngayon? Hindi na natin binibigyan ng masyadong pansin ng mga kaibigan nating trans eh. Kaya baka isipin lang, nineneglect sila ng The J. Aruga Show. So, that is far from the reality. Mahal ko kayo. And by mahal, I mean, I equally debunk the trans ideology the same way I do with abortion, same-sex marriage, IVF, etc. So, ano ang news about trans na kokomentan ko? Eto, from Screen Rant, entitled Tyra Banks Producing Teen Drag Show for Discovery Plus. The Dancing with the Stars host Tyra Banks is producing a new teenage drag show for Discovery Plus that follows five teens getting ready for Dragutante. So, the title of the TV show is Generation Drag. Ang Discovery Plus ay nabili na ng Warner Media, the same company na nagmay-ari sa DC Comics these days at sa HBO Max. So kung naalala nyo, yung HBO Max, naglabas sila ng series entitled Transhood kung saan tungkol ito sa mga batang trans na meron doon as young as 7 years old. Just to read the description mula mismo sa Discovery Plus, take note na ang lahat ng pronouns dito are theirs and not mine. And I quote, Noah, who performs as Pop-Tart, is a trans female teen exploring her first romantic relationship. Although her parents have accepted her transition, there are still tough conversations to be had about her true self. Vinny, who is a perfectionist and was born to perform, struggles with his Vanessa Shimmer choreography and stresses he won't be able to execute a flawless cartwheel in his new platforms on stage. Having difficulty connecting with peers in his hometown, Bailey is filled with anticipation to finally meet other teens with the same passion. His drag persona, Nemo, gives him the confidence to open up and make new friends. Although Nabella is looking forward to bring her Dunkashay Monroe to a large audience, she still longs for the acceptance of her maternal grandmother, who she fears may never accept her. The five teens have worked for months curating their head-to-toe looks for their alter ego performances, but it's the friendships they make along the way that fulfill their sense of self. End of quote. Aww, friendship. Sabi ng left, ang OOA daw nating mga nasa kanan, hindi naman daw nila ginugroom ang mga bata. Pero as we heard from the leaked town hall mula sa Disney, they're on full throttle sa pag-i-indoctrinate nila sa mga anak natin. Same din sa Warner Media. Sa mga hindi nakakalam ng mga nangyayari sa TV shows na ito, lalo na sa Generation Drag ni Tyra Banks, ang drag lang naman ay yung pagsusot ng isang lalaki ng damit pambabae. Think of RuPaul's Drag Race. Hindi mabibilis na kotse ang nagtutunggali sa drag race na ito. Most of the time, 100% of the time, ang mga nagsusot ng drag o mga drag queens ay hyper-sexualized. Sumasayaw sila sa mga drag shows, minsan sa strip clubs, full-on makeup, scantily clad outfits. So, ang mga teens na ito, when they wear a drag queen's outfit, they will definitely be sexualized. To give you a perspective kung gaano ka-atrocious ang drug sa mga bata. Atrocious din naman yung drugs, pero atrocious din yung drag. So kung naalala nyo noon, si Willie Revillame, nakasuhan siya dahil pinasayaw niya ang isang batang lalaki na mala macho dancer on stage sa programa niya. We considered it child abuse back then, and it is still child abuse now. Make no mistake about that. Sooner or later, magki-creep in ang mga pinaggagawa ng US dito sa Pinas. Maring yung drag mag-creep in din dito sa Pinas. Teka, mukhang nangyayari na nga ito dito sa Pinas as we speak. Because some time ago, kung naalala nyo, may shinare akong bulletin board ng GAD, G-A-D, sa Facebook page ng The J. Aruga Show. Ano yung GAD? Gender and Development. Maraming mga bulletin boards dito sa mga public schools natin sweeping our country, teaching our kids gender ideology. Paano nangyari ito? Hindi pa naman approved ang SOGI bill. Ibig sabihin, hindi naman pala kailangan ma-approve ng SOGI bill para makapag-indoctrinate sa mga bata ang mga leftists na ito. Ang gender and development in the Philippines ay initially targeted for women empowerment. Bakit nai-smuggle dito ang gender ideology? Pupusta ako kung titingin ka sa mga documents or bulletin board sa mga schools na may GAD, may things doon about transgenders, asexual, non-binary. Someone needs to take a look into this. I'm calling conservatives and pro-family groups to check this out. Okay? Now, it's time for Sagutin ang Tanong. Kung mapapakinggan nyo ang episode na ito, it's one of three situations. Either pupunta pa lang kayo sa presinto para bumoto, o tapos na ang halalan, o baka naman na-announce na kung sino na ang nanalo sa pagkapangulo. Kaya baka isipin nyo kung gagawa man ako ng topic tungkol sa election ay ano pa ang saysay nito. Pero may tanong akong gustong sagutin. Ito yung tanong. Jay, bakit parang wala kang pakialam sa Philippine politics? Una, hindi totoo yan. Sobrang excited ako sa politics. Pero ito lang yung few of the things that I would like to keep private. Misis ko lang yung nakakalam kung sino yung binoto ko. Although, I have given clues. Part ako ng 8 questions ng Pipe Network. Pumayag lang ako kasi ang tanong nila is, tell me who you're voting for without telling me who you're voting for. So, with the clues I've given there, sana ay nahulaan nyo kung sino yung binoto ko. Now, wala ba akong pakialam sa Philippine politics? Hardly. Ang simbahan nga eh, hinikayat tayo na makilahok sa politika at sa halalan. And minsan naiinis yung mga tao kapag may letter na binabasa si Father from the CBCP. Nung minsan nakadinig ako from someone sa likod namin na nagsalita. Sabi niya, "Misa pa ba ito?" Kahit walang sinasabi ang pari na pangalan ng dapat iboto, nagbibigay lang naman ng guidelines kung paano pumili ng kandidato ang CBCP. Wala namang masama doon, di ba? I appreciate yung mga pari na alam mong may ini-endorse sila pero hindi nila babanggitin ang pangalan ng ini-endorse nila sa pulpito. Nasa code of canon law kasi na bawal gawin ito. Ito ang nasasaad sa code. Clerics are not to have an active part in political parties and in governing labor unions unless in the judgment of competent ecclesiastical authority, the protection of the rights of the church or the promotion of the common good requires it. Ngayon, hindi nangangahulugan na hindi na magsasalita ang mga pari tungkol sa sitwasyon sa bansa. Bawal lang sila mag-campaign for a politician sa pulpito. Nahaheartbreak ako sa mga Catholics na mas pipiliin pa nilang iwan ang simbahan dahil sa fanaticism sa isang politiko. May karapatan din naman ang mga pari pumuna kung may mali sa kanilang nakikita. Kasi nagbabayad naman sila ng value-added tax. Nagbabayad ang mga pari ng value-added tax mula sa mga goods na binibili nila. Also, gumagamit din sila ng mga public works gaya ng kalsada, paliparan, etc. Kaya may say sila punahin kung saan napupunta ang buwis ng bayan. Pero hindi yan ang gusto kong pag-usapan. Ang gusto kong sabihin is we need to engage in politics either gaya ng ginagawa ko na private or maaring kung gusto nyo, publicly. We are called to do this by the church. In fact, naipapasa ang mga batas na taliwas sa paniniwala natin, sa pananampalataya natin, gaya ng RH law, because we don't engage in politics enough. Ngayon, paano kung ang nanalong politiko ay yung ayaw mo? Yung politiko na hindi konserbatibo? Huwag kang mag-alala. Sa US nga eh, ang laki ng strides na nagawa ngayon ng conservative movement. Ngayon na hindi pa si Trump ang presidente. Ngayon na isang Democrat na si Biden ang pangulo. Nandun yung win sa Loudoun County. So, search nyo yun. Kung saan nanaig ang mga parents na galit sa mga school boards na kung ano-anong crap ang tinuturo nila sa mga anak nila. Pinapagamit din nila yung female bathrooms sa biological males and may na-rape na ngang babae dito. Nandyan din ang napakadaming win sa Florida na ipasa ang anti-groomer bill. So ito yung tinatawag lang don't say gay bill. Ako mas gusto kong tawagin itong anti-groomer bill kasi ginugroom nila ang mga bata para maging LGBTQ+. Dito sa bill na to, simple lang naman. Sinasabi lang na hindi pinapayagan ang mga teachers na kausapin ang mga students up to grade 3 about sexual orientation. Kasi kayo ba, kunwari nasa playground ang anak nyo, tapos may biglang lumapit na adult sa anak nyo at kinausap ito tungkol sa sex. Papayag ba kayo? Common sense na lang, di ba? Masyado pang bata ang mga ito and hindi pa nila kailangan matutunan ang mga bagay na yon. Save the innocence of the kids as much as possible. Natanggal din ni Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ang special tax privileges ng Disneyland. As we speak, mukhang ma-overturn ang Roe v. Wade. It seems like the US is mostly done with their woke face. Proof nito yung pag-implode ng CNN Plus na in 1 month lang after its launch, konti lang yung naging subscribers. Kaya biglang tinapos na nila ang CNN Plus. Also, bumababa din yung Netflix subscriptions dahil nagiging sobrang woke na ng Netflix. Also, syempre, yung pagkabili ni Elon Musk ng Twitter. At yung mga hindi makancel-cancel na sina Joe Rogan at Dave Chappelle. Ito yung mga proofs na tingin ko nagka-come out of their woke face na ang Amerika. So pagdasal natin yan. Pagdasal din natin ang bansa natin na hindi na sana tayo dumaan sa woke face and let's just skip to the done with the woke face part. Is it the end of the world kung ang manalong presidente sa Pilipinas ay yung hindi mo binoto? The reason I mentioned all of these strides sa US kahit hindi si Trump ang nakaupo at si Biden ang nakaupo, ay para sabihin na minsan may mga ma-achieve tayo despite na ang taong nakaupo ay yung hindi mo gusto. At kung conservative ka na nadidismaya sa pamamalakad ng taong ito, tingin mo hindi siya nag-govern conservatively at ang karamihan sa tumatakbo ay puro liberal mag-isip, kung mapapakinggan mo ito bago ka bumoto at hindi pa huli ang lahat, gusto ko lang sabihin na huwag mo itaya ang lahat sa stance ng kandidato. Kasi napakabilis magpalit ng stand ng mga kandidatong ito. Minsan based sa popular opinion ang pagpalit nila ng stand. Ang ilan sa mga presidentiables nga eh, in a span of a few months, nagpalit sila ng stand on death penalty. Pero for years, habang nasa legislature sila, sobrang pagpupush nila sa death penalty. Ang mahalaga sa isang kandidato ay yung character niya and willing siyang makinig. Unless may deep-seated advocacy ang kandidatong ito sa anti-family values, huwag niyo iboto yung mga kandidato na yon. With that said, ito ang gawin natin. Madalas ang mga politicians na ito, hindi mo mababago ang isip nila by offering a convincing argument about an issue. Makumbinsi mo man sila, hindi nila paninindigan ito. Ang pwede mong gawin ay mangumbinsi ka na lang ng ibang tao sa stance natin on issues. At ang mga taong yun, sila naman kukumbinsi sa ibang tao hanggang sa marami na tayong naniniwala sa conservative values. Parang networking. Kung hindi man natin makumbinsi ang isang politician to take a stand on certain issues, through argumentation, garantisado, makukumbinsi mo sila kapag nakita nila sa isyong ito, kapag pinili nila ang conservative side, ay marami silang botong makukuha. And we have until 2028 to do this. Time is on our side. Pero gagawin ba natin? Sabi ko nga sa isang post, ito lang ang batikos ko sa conservative movement. Kaya tayo natatalo sa culture war kasi mahilig tayo mag-procrastinate. Nagsisintas pa lang ng sapatos ang konserbatibo na kailang ikot na ng mundo ang leftist ideology. Huwag natin hayaang mangyari ulit yon this election cycle. This has been another episode of the J.R. Ruga Show. At the end of the day, it will be night. Goodbye! If this episode made your day, or even if it didn't, please press that follow button right there. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. Spread the word, tell your friends, family, your dog to subscribe as well. Thank you very much.